I'm Jane Johnson, and this is the Careering into Motherhood podcast. In this series, I talk to a different female career coach each episode to find out more about what they do and how they help their clients, mostly working mums, to get where they want to be work-wise. My guest today is Sarah Clark. Sarah may be known to some of you as the Work Happiness Coach. Sarah's been my coach before, and she has also recently pivoted her own business to be more aimed at what feels right for her. She helps women who want to start their own business. And if that's something you've considered, then grab a cuppa and listen on. Sarah Clark, welcome to the Careering into Motherhood podcast. I feel like this is just going to be a chat between two friends. So sorry to all the listeners, because we're just going to get one another right.
Don't mind us. Yeah, don't mind us.
Because I was thinking, as I was just preparing the notes for this podcast, you know, a large part of what I do started when I came to you for some career coaching, because I had launched my first iteration of my business back then when I was doing some recruitment, and it didn't feel right. It wasn't quite me. I saw your name and read some reviews and testimonials and so on, and we did some sessions together. So
it's like a long time ago now, doesn't it? It is a long time ago now.
We've both completely changed.
We've both changed completely directions and where we are and what we do.
So I want to talk about, because I know you are very mission driven in what you do, which is why you left your sort of corporate role. And I want to talk about what is your why? There you go. I'm a career coach. I'm going to play the role of a career coach today.
I know, it's weird, isn't it, being on the receiving end? What is my why? I mean, this is something that I talk a lot to my clients about, like getting really clear on your why has to be your starting point. So I feel like I have to get this right. My why ultimately is to help women be the very best they can be within a professional setting. Everything you stand for, Jane, and you know, the work that you do in Careering to Motherhood, it resonates so closely with what I believe to be the most important thing for women as they become mothers, and women generally, that the corporate world isn't necessarily set up to help people have the careers that they dream of. And my why has always been to help those women realize their potential, but on their terms. So like many career coaches, you know, getting clear on your what you have in your toolkit and what happiness looks like for you is key. But my why, to be honest, over the course of the last few years has evolved, because I truly come to the point where I'm believing that the best way to find work that fulfills you and truly makes you happy and aligns with who you are as a person and the life you want to live and your family requirements and boundaries is to do your own thing. And that is my why. And I think it's my why because that's what's worked for me. I'm not saying it works for everyone, but that's how I found my definition of work happiness and, you know, really, really found work on my terms.
Yeah, I was talking with someone the other day, and then it also came up in the Facebook group, this idea of whether you can really be yourself when you work for, let's take a large firm. I'm sure in smaller, more agile firms where, you know, diversity, et cetera, is really welcomed. But these large firms where they say, you know, these are our values, this is our mission. And when you're employing hundreds or thousands of people, does everyone really have those same values and believe in that same mission? And if they don't, then can you truly be who you are in that large corporate? So it's when you spin out or set up on your own or do something that you can create the life and the business that you really want. And Sarah, that's what you're doing now, isn't it? All you've done. I mean, it's iterations, isn't it?
It's exactly that. And I think you've hit the nail on the head. After having worked in the corporate world for, you know, I think it's like 15, 16 years, I was doing engagement, culture, consultancy, leadership in a kind of an OD capacity, organizational development. And I loved my job on the most part. I really did. But my job was to make the organization, you know, psychologically safe, to use that word, you know, psychological safety in the workplace, so people could bring their whole selves to work. That was my job, really, because, you know, positive psychology shows us that if you can be yourself, you know, authentically aligned with who you are, and, you know, bring your talents and your strengths and align your values, you do great work. Not only do you do great work, but, you know, the organization benefits commercially, productivity goes through the roof, loyalty improves, customer satisfaction, and therefore, stakeholder and shareholder value. So that's the kind of commercial what I used to do. But I suppose what transpired over the course of that experience is that, yes, there's a lot of BS in corporate. You know, they have a list of values on their website. Maybe they've got some values in a frame on a wall in their boardroom. Mm. And it's just not congruent. It's not real. It's not authentic. And I worked in a number of organizations that did a really good job at it. But you're right. Like, how can you possibly ensure that every single individual, every single employee that works for you aligns with your values? I mean, unless you've got a pretty, you know, good selection process up front, you know, you're not going to get a perfect fit. And I think as long as you're doing a good job of finding, you know, culturally aligned people and people that believe in what you're trying to do purpose-wise, you do a good job. But you can never get it like a glove. Do you know what I mean? Like fitting exactly. Like a glove, which is that's the ideal. That's my idealist mentality as an ENFP.
And I think I'm interested in your thoughts, whether the pandemic shone a glaring light on employers or jobs or situations where there was this mismatch. So where previously we'd just got up every morning, got on the train, gone in and done our jobs, and suddenly we weren't doing that and we were homeschooling and we were all under intense spotlight of just pressure, not seeing friends, not seeing family, all of that stuff. And it caused this readjustment or realignment of what our values really are, and therefore I'm not going to put up with this anymore and I'm going to go and do something that I really want. Whether you've seen, you know, people coming to you with a clearer idea of now what matters to them, or also if you've seen people coming to you saying, actually, enough of this corporate BS, I'm going to come to you because I've got this idea, this burning idea that I want to launch.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I feel like, you know, there have been all these sort of phrases coined, haven't there? Like the great reset, the great resignation, the big pause. You know, all of these descriptors are very valid. And, you know, I feel like it's coming from two different places. Yes, you're right. I think, you know, the organisations that were rubbish to start with about putting their people first and embracing cultures that supported diversity, inclusion, well-being and happiness and all the rest of it, you know, their true colours showed. They really did. If they were doing a good job at it beforehand, they probably did an even better job than before. And actually, as an organisation I work with as a culture consultant, who saw their engagement scores actually climb as a result of the pandemic because of, you know, the solidarity and the loyalty that their employees felt as a result of being treated so well and, you know, looked after so well during that crappy time. But on the converse, right, you know, the organisations that got it really badly wrong and neglected to put their people first, they shone a shiny light on those things that they were doing so badly. And the employees were just suddenly realising that they were just another number. You know, they probably had a hint of it all along, but this really exaggerated this belief that they were just another number. Coupled with that sort of time and distance away from workplaces and, you know, a very interesting psychological phenomenon occurs when you are working in an environment where the values are so clear cut.
Yes.
It does rub off on you. Like, you know, your beliefs start to morph and shift in line with theirs. You become a little bit institutionalized or brainwashed, which I guess is part of the corporate way. But with that distance and remote working, I think it made people think, oh, what on earth am I doing? I've been, you know, giving my life, my soul, you know, sacrificing family time, those things that are important to me for something I don't even like.
Yes.
And something I don't care about. And in the grand scheme of things, people are dying. Is this what I want to really do with my life? So there's a bit of an existential crisis, I feel like, that came about as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Facing to our own mortality and what we were doing right here. So you have obviously been through this sort of self-questioning, self-enlightenment, whatever you want to call it, yourself, and you've reinvented your coaching business, or I guess reinvented sounds like you closed one door and opened it the next day. Ta-da!
Felt a bit like that, actually.
Did it?
A bit too quick, yeah.
Well, I was sort of following your journey on your social media channels and things, and it looked very much like a natural evolution, and that you were in the place, in the right spot to be doing now what you are doing. So let's talk to the listeners who might be sitting there thinking, God, I've got this. I really just want to give it a go. I want to go out on my own. I've got this idea and I don't know where to turn. Because actually, It is quite a lonely journey, whether you strike out as a contractor, freelancer, or you want to start your own business as a startup. Unless you've got a co-founder and a team around you immediately, which very few do, it's quite lonely and you make quite a lot of mistakes. So having someone to talk to as a business coach would be invaluable. Where do you see your clients tend to come? At what point in their journey do they tend to come to you?
That's a very good question. I mean, they still kind of come to me through the same channels as they did previously when I was doing traditional career coaching. Just for clarity, the way I describe traditional career coaching is that I'm an impartial coach and, you know, I help the individual get to the right decision for them. I guess what I'm doing now is that I'm positioning myself, yes, as a career coach. So I'm helping you with your career, but I'm specializing in helping people start up. So if you have an inkling or a kind of nugget of an idea that you want to explore, that's probably going to be better suited to someone like me as opposed to a broad brush career coach who could just sort of tell you or help you get to the right avenue for you. So I suppose where they come from, and it's a bit of a mixture. I mean, I would say some people have epiphanies on things like maternity leaves or career breaks or potentially after massive transformational moments in their life like bereavement, even COVID, you know, that opportunity to stop and think and get perspective on what you want. It's that pivotal moment where things start to become into question, I guess, like, why am I here? What do I really want to do? What's important? So it's kind of down the life coaching route in that sense. That's that point in time. So consequently, I work with people, you know, during mat leave or like coming out of mat leave because they're thinking about going back to work, but not sure how they can kind of configure it around their family. Maybe people's children are leaving the nest, you know, so kind of empty nest syndrome. I hate that term, but it's, you know, the empty nest syndrome where they're like, oh, it's about me now. I'm coming up for air again. This is my time. That's definitely a theme. I think the other theme is redundancy, which is my own personal journey. So I was made redundant in 2016. So although I always had a dream of doing my own thing, to be honest, redundancy forced my hand. Like I kind of had no choice but to do something and quickly because I was actually pregnant as well at the time. So there's lots of reasons that people come to me, lots of points in their career that people come to me. But it is usually I want something because this isn't working for me.
Yes. And what sort of, how do you help them?
So I still adopt very much the approach I did when I was career coaching, a traditional sense of the word. So my background, because it's in kind of personal development and development generally, I'm a great believer in personal development tools, personality tools, psychometric tools, as you know, Jane, and digging into who you are as an individual. So not the kind of spiritual angle, I suppose it is more psychometric driven, but with a really interesting blend of intuition. So my approach will always be, let's look at who you are, literally warts and all, including confidence, mindset, self-limiting beliefs, your natural talents, your personality preferences, you know, your values, your beliefs, your even your story, right? So if you've got a personal or a professional story that means that you've overcome certain challenges in your life, it may make you very well equipped to assist somebody else with a similar problem. So my structure, actually, I've, you know, and once again, this is thanks to COVID, I suppose, this clarity, not only pivoting my business, but also my own evolution in terms of my processes. I've really found that nature has helped me get clarity just by walking in nature every day.
And yeah, I've seen this.
The intuition that I guess I've really been tuning into, not getting kind of spiritual in my old age, although possibly a bit of that, but going back to my roots, I've always loved nature. I've got a degree in marine biology, but walking in nature saved my bacon, as I know it did a lot of people during COVID. So consequently, my structure has been kind of influenced and formed around wisdom from nature. So it's actually a kind of tree structure, weirdly, that I've put together for my new business coaching model, which means that we're looking at the kind of more organic elements of a business. I feel like there's a lot of stuff on social media, like you've got to do it this way, you've got to do it that way. You know, you've got to have like six-figure months and like, you know, make £5 million in 4 seconds. And it's just too much. Yeah. There's so much noise.
And it's not true. Not possible.
And it's also not possible.
Not from the start anyway.
No, exactly. So I feel like getting your roots, literally to use that metaphor as broadly as we can, the foundations for a sustainable business mean that you have to go quite deep into your own story, your own beliefs, your own mindset, your own purpose. Like, what is it that you want to do? What's the dent that you want to make in the world with what you have in your toolkit? So we go through this this model, and I'm doing this, you can't see, listeners, but I'm using my hands to do a trunk and roots and branches and things. But yeah, it's tree shaped or U-shaped, which is my strap line.
It's really interesting, Sarah, because I think a lot of the materials out there, and I say that now having running my own business for the best part of 6 or 7 years now, and there's so much stuff out there which is about, if you take your tree analogy, which is about the buds or the leaves or the flowers on that tree. Let's jump straight to that. And as you say, let's talk about your six-figure months and let's talk about your product and so on. But, having all the bruises and scars of the last 5 or 6 years, yeah, it's so important to get those basics right. And also, I think before you start your business, you have the time, in inverted commas, not months, but you do have the opportunity to get those things right. And it saves you so many tears further down the road because you've got what's right for you. I mean, what I'm doing now feels so inherently right for me and my personality and who I am that I can't. I saw somebody today had got a career change quiz, and I was like, oh, I'm just interested to see this. So I clicked on it and I thought, actually, for the first time almost in my entire life, I have no desire to do anything other than what I'm doing right now.
Interesting. But, that's telling, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So that is, yeah. But that is about getting those roots right. I'm really interested in you possibly answered it already, but what do you think it takes to build a successful business? If someone's sitting there now, sort of two or three things, maybe from your own business building journey.
I mean, clearly I'm biased because I've put this framework together. I suppose it's the framework I wish I'd had. I was rubbish at asking for help. So I feel like that is something that I would go back and do differently, just to get that support. Because as you say, it's lonely. You've worked in corporate, if you are coming from an ex-corporate environment, of working with a team of people. And we all know that diversity and contribution from different ways of thinking makes for a better, more resilient, sustainable solution. So I feel like, asking for help would be something I would definitely recommend. Quite an important part of the way I work with my clients, which is something that I've taken so long to get my head around, but something I now incorporate into my program because I know what I needed, is the kind of mindset shift between working for someone else and working for yourself. And you can kind of refer to it as like a corporate hangover, but like some of the work that I do with my clients is, literally busting some of those myths about work. Is meant to feel hard. I'm meant to work every hour God sends because that's how I get promoted or get noticed or recognized.
I love this one about you have to do work during the 9 to 5. And it honestly took me 3 years to not feel guilty if I was having a coffee with a friend at 11 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something. Because I love that phrase, the corporate hangover. I was thinking, oh my God, any minute now I'm going to get a call from my boss asking where I am.
You feel guilty, like, don't you? It's like ingrained. No,
exactly. It really is.
And the example I was going to give before you gave that one, which is so funny, I took an afternoon off to get my hair cut on a Monday. And honestly, I felt like
a half day
anxious. And this, this was like a couple of years into running my business. And I think my husband was like, I really need to go and get my hair cut on a Saturday. Well, why don't you just go in the week? He said. And I went, because I'm working. He went, but you're your own boss. I went, oh yeah. And there was this sort of permission I had to give myself. And I feel like that is really, it goes both ways. It's liberating in many ways because literally you get to decide it all, right? Who you work with, who you don't work with, what you offer, what you don't offer, the hours you work, the hours you don't work. And for someone like me who is not an anarchist, but I like my autonomy, I like doing things my way, that is really, really exciting. But at the same time, for many people, you're like, but what's the right way? What's the way you're meant to do it? What are the rules? Because you've always had a boss, right? You expect that there has to be a specific way to do all of this. But my approach is that actually, if you tune into you, and there is a certain amount of kind of reconnecting with the you before corporate that you need to do, if you tune into that and then build your business around you, so your ideal clients are aligned to you, your products and services are aligned with your personality and your strengths and your skills, the things that you want to do, you know, the hours you want to work around your family. Like, literally, you get to decide it all. It can be an overwhelming prospect, but if you have a bit of a framework to help you, you know, plug all those, all the bits of your tree together, that is what I would recommend people do, which I didn't do. Like, just do it your way and not be afraid that there is a right way to do it, and don't feel guilty about having your hair cut on a Monday. Which
Hashtag.
Is crazy.
Hashtag.
Yeah.
I love it. I want to touch, you just touched on it there. I want to talk a little bit about this idea of sort of almost perfectionism. And I think that stems from this, I can't leave my desk. I've got to work all the hours. I've taken a risk. I'm setting up on my own. It has to be a success. And actually, I have been the last few years talking to so many female founders and so on, and there is not a single one of them that I have met whose first business venture was the overnight success or even the success. There is this, and your absolute case in point, there is this evolution before you get to what is right for you. And I guess, what advice or support or tips do you have? How do you help clients through this process of just being more accepting that when you're on your own or launching your own thing, it's brave, it's going to involve some failure, and that's all okay? Really interested in your perspective on that.
I feel like if you don't fail, you don't grow. I mean, as a learning and development expert, you know, that's what I've always advocated. But I feel like there feels like there is so much more at risk when it's your baby. It's an extension of who you are. It's your identity. You know, putting yourself out there potentially for rejection, even through the mechanism of selling yourself or marketing yourself, there's more baggage, there's more stuff caught up in there. So we are more cautious. So we tend to hold back more because we want, like, you know, we want it to be perfect because it's an extension of our reputation or identity, whether or not we're going to, I don't know, afford a roof over our head. So unpicking all of that and thinking, well, actually, if I'm viewing my brave move, and I think once again, there's a kind of way of reframing brave to sort of de-risk it, to make it less uncomfortable, which we could definitely talk about, seeing it as a big old experiment, a happy, playful, iterative experiment whereby you try something. It's like you're trying it on for size. Give it a go. Don't attach yourself too much to the outcome, which I know is easier said than done. But see it as a view of, like, I'm going to learn more about myself with everything that I try. So every product and service that I've built because I saw Bob over the road doing it or Mary on Instagram doing it has not worked for me. And I know now why, because it's not me shaped. It's not analogous with my personality and my purpose. But there is this external noise. So having that kind of playful, breezy, experimental approach, like quite a scientific approach, like analyzing what went well, what didn't go well, what felt right, what didn't feel right, makes it less scary. So I used to work in tech environments quite a lot, and we used agile methodology, which is all about kind of build, measure, learn, for anyone that knows about the lean startup. And it's all about scrums and iterations and little releases. Okay. And I think if you think about your own startup in this fashion, as opposed to, like, I spend 7 years building this massive thing and then I launch it and then it, oh my God, it's failed. Like, that, nobody learns from that. It's called continuous improvement, build, measure, learn. And I think if you have that BML, build, measure, learn mentality when you're doing your own thing, like building a new product, trying a different way of posting on social, even putting yourself out there in a different way, tweaking your Instagram profile, which I used to do daily, by the way, just to be clear, to get it. Is that resonating? Is that me? Is that who I am? I mean, literally for 5 years every day. That's a better and healthier way, because you learn and you grow and it's less pressure to be perfect.
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely. Absolutely agree. And I think from the founders of the Albright, and they talk about when the pandemic, so they run these women's only clubs in London and all around the world now, and when the pandemic hit, obviously annihilated that part of their business because everything was closed. And they talk about, okay, you have these failures, but it's about how fast you can come back, how you can learn from them, and how quickly you can come back from them. Yeah, and I mean, that also is the case, obviously. I think when you're talking about sort of playful business or playfully trying things, you're absolutely right. I could not agree more, because if you're not enjoying something, if it's not working for you, it's not fun, why are you even doing it? You may as well go back to the big corporate
hustle.
But there is this sense of when it's linked to money or revenue or salaries, in our country anyway, we don't tend to link work with play, work being fun, because it's so intrinsically linked to, oh my God, but I've got to pay the bills and I've got to put a roof and food on the table and all this
stuff.
Which is, of course, but you can still do that in a way where you have fun.
And I think that's such an interesting point. And it, I suppose it links back to one of the points I made before about a belief that, particularly in Western society, that work has to be hard and, you know, serious. And, you know, if you dig into the neuroscience and you dig into the positive psychology of work happiness and engagement, the irony is that we get a far better return on investment when we do things that feel easy or easier, because we find that flow state. You know, we get energized, we get a good old hit of dopamine in the reward centers of our brain when we're doing things that feel lighter. You know, when we can be ourselves at work and we're truly happy, you know, which is, work happiness coach is my kind of strap line, you do better work. So we all know that when you're doing better work and you're performing, delivering better impact, more engaged, more loyal, all these other words, you actually make more money. So there's a sort of mindset shift around, if I can be happier and do what I'm bloody brilliant at and what I love doing, my clients will get it. They'll connect with me. They'll be magnetized to my content because I'm so passionate about what I do and what I believe in. They'll want to work with me. Therefore, I'll make more money. I mean, you can make that connection back every single time, but it's not very British, is
no,
it?
You're
it's
right.
not, you know, Absolutely. Happiness is a bit frivolous and irresponsible.
Yes. Yeah, that's so true. Well, I feel like I've had my very own coaching session today. It's been really good talking to you. I just want to close out by asking if someone who's listening to this podcast right now and has been fostering a secret burning desire, or maybe not even so secret, to go it alone for some time now, what two pieces of advice would you give them? Obviously come to a career coach, like
I would definitely say try and just have a conversation with someone, even if it's not a career coach. Talk to someone who is outside of your, I would say, your family unit, because there'll be a lot of vested interest or bias in there. Just voice it to somebody who is completely objective, if you can possibly find them, ideally a mentor or a coach. I would also, you know, run through a process of trying it on for size, back to the theme of playful experimentation. You know, letting yourself go to a place where, you know, this business is a success, like allowing yourself to visualize what it could be like. You know, the fact that you're able to do X number of pickups or drop offs in the week, you know, the fact that you'd be spending whatever percentage of your day on Zoom or doing networking events or creating pots with your hands or whatever the thing is that you want to do. Give yourself the opportunity to have a play with that, like almost, even if you've got a full time job or even a part time job. Spend a day a week or a day a month, take the day off on holiday and pretend you're running that business, just to try it on for size. You know, run a focus group with some friends in a cafe, talk to people that, you know, do this already. Imagine yourself doing it for a day and you learn so much of just trying it on for size, and it's quite fun and the pressure's off, right? You don't have to get it right, but you immerse yourself to know enough whether or not it's what you want to do a bit more of in the future.
Great advice. Thank you so much, Sarah. Really, I've loved to you.
Loved
and,
it. Thank you.
Very best of luck with your new program, new direction.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
As you can probably tell, I loved talking to Sarah. So many nuggets there for anyone wanting to explore what running your own thing would be like. And I can honestly say that everything she said today either rang true for me or is something I wish I'd done back when I was starting out. So much information and knowledge there. You can find out more about working with Sarah over on our website or in the show notes. As ever, please leave a review, tell your friends, colleagues, anyone you know about us, and don't forget, you can get heaps of free coaching tools, info, and expertise over on our website. Till next time.